You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by TrekFan. TrekFan isn't just a Star Trek fan club, it's a challenge. You will explore new places, learn new things, and collaborate with other fans to solve puzzles, complete real-life mission objectives, and win great prizes. To face your first challenge and to find out more, head on over to TrekFan.org.
Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of To the Journey.
To the journey!
I'm Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as always, are my fabulous co-hosts,
Tristan Riddell and
Lori Sears.
And as you heard last week, we are doing an in-depth character analysis, which we tend to do from time to time on To the Journey. This week's lucky winner is, Neelix!
Woo!
Some people love him, some people hate him, and you know what? I think we're going to have a good discussion. We're going to be fair, we're going to show the good and the bad, we're not going to be totally negative, because I know a lot of people are, but we're not going to totally sugarcoat the truth here, either. Because Neelix was a very real character. He had his goods and his failings. Let's discuss them.
Let's so.
I want to gauge fandom reaction here just by saying that in preparation for this week, I went to the Memory Alpha page like most Star Trek podcasters do before they talk about anything.
Naturally.
Though I know the character backwards and front, it's just, it amuses me, like, because Memory Alpha is just like any other wiki, you know, anybody can add to it, anybody can change it, but sometimes it goes through an approval process. But this is the last sentence on his Memory Alpha page. All right?
Oh,
I
want
to read
Bring
this to everybody.
Do it.
This is the last thing that is said about the character on his page. Neelix is routinely considered to be one of the worst characters in Star Trek. I'm not done yet. Usually ranking within the top three, both in utter uselessness as a crew member and annoying qualities as a character.
Reading that. I read that earlier this week and went, wow, I wonder who the other two characters are that people hate that much.
Right.
I kind of wonder, and I'm thinking maybe when we're done with this, I'm going to go on Memory Alpha and search through all the character profile pages just to see who it is.
I want to see like who has been editorializing the character pages.
No kidding, right?
Yeah, because most of the time it's pretty good on just like this happened to this character and this character has this kind of history. Not so much like, and then he was a total jerk right here, and he's just useless and. And then, like, her hair looked kind of weird in this episode, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, come on, don't judge. Everybody has a bad hair day.
So, yeah, speaking of hair, like, before, you know, we could talk about his hedgehog like qualities.
Should we start with his appearance and the incredibly elaborate makeup job they did every single day on Ethan Phillips? Because
wow,
I do not remember exactly how many hours it took to put on the makeup. But let's just say that Ethan Phillips had to get to the Paramount lot a lot earlier than all of his other castmates.
Than anybody else, yeah.
It was a long time.
It was probably more like a shift of work in and of itself before you even go to work.
Yeah.
I just love that Michael Westmore said that his inspiration for Neelix's makeup and hair design was from... was from a combination of animals from Disney's The Lion King.
I know when I saw that I thought,
I've
yes,
never heard that before.
Man, you wanted Rafiki to come out and just hold him up like he was the savior.
That's
of
right.
The animal kingdom.
I feel like he was a nice mix between Timon and Pumbaa.
But,
like, that's basically, we get Neelix between those two characters.
That is fantastic.
The sass and the warthog. That's it. You're right.
And he definitely has a sense of style that is his own.
Yeah, are you referring to the checkerboard or whatever it is he tends to be wearing that week outfits?
I absolutely love his outfits because they're all the same. It's all the same cut. It's like his uniform, but he just, you know, does up the style when a little bit, changes the pattern. And I thought it's just so, I thought it was so appropriate for his character to have just these absolutely gaudy and audacious.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're wild. There. Absolutely wild. I mean, they put Wesley's Technicolor sweater to shame.
They truly do. They really do. They remind me of, like, my grandparents' couch from the 1960s that they held onto forever.
Yes. Way too so much. Absolutely.
Wow.
Definitely.
That is something. Now I want to see what your grandparents' couch looked like.
It was like Neelix.
Just look at those checkerboard, whichever checkerboard outfit you tend to choose. Just imagine that spread across a couch. That's it.
I got to tell you, though, my favorite Neelix clothing piece was his chef's hat.
Oh, God.
With matching apron.
Oh.
I mean, only Neelix would have done it. Any other person who was running the kitchen on the ship would have passed on that, but not Neelix, which says a lot about his character. He takes his job very seriously in his own weird, whimsical, goofy, lighthearted way.
I'd have to say my favorite outfit was the first one we saw him in, that huge feather jacket coat thing that he had going on, and not feather, but fur.
Yeah.
And,
oh, okay, in Caretaker when he beams aboard the ship.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I was kind of hoping that coat would make a comeback. But maybe it was just he didn't shower or bathe for so long that it was just wrecked. It was ruined.
He probably had to dispose of it.
And thank goodness.
Speaking of which, like, what did you guys think of him when you saw him in Caretaker?
Okay, you know what's interesting is I really liked Neelix at the start, and I remember all the hype that came out about Neelix when the show was starting. He was supposed to be the breakout character.
Really?
Neelix.
I don't remember hearing that. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, TV Guide was just pimping him out. Let me tell you. Ethan Phillips, this was supposed to be, like, the thing to really break him out into a full-blown, insane career. Neelix was going to be the star of the show as this quirky alien. And I'm not sure what happened, but that is what all the hype was supposed to be. It was going to be Neelix and Kes, the exotic aliens, ooh, and they're in a relationship.
Speaking of that, oh my.
Now, does that tie into your first impression, Lori?
My first impression, well, you know, because we saw him first through that window, through the view screen, and I thought, who is this guy? He's like the Fred Sanford of space. Do you know Fred Sanford?
yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what I thought. Exactly. I kept thinking for him, you know, if something dramatic happened, he would say, this is the big one. This is the big one, Kes. This is the big one.
I'm coming, Kes. I'm coming.
Yeah.
That's it. So
now, the people who have not seen Sanford and Son are totally lost at this point. Sorry.
I love that I love that you brought up the view screen. I don't think we've ever seen this before in Star Trek where someone grabs their view screen, like the camera to their view screen.
Yeah.
Like the webcam.
It was like a webcam, and he misplaced it. He's like, whoever you are.
Where is it?
This is my debris field. I found it first.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. And when I first saw Neelix, and then, you know, at the end of Caretaker when they were going to stay on, I did think, I was like, okay, like, this guy could get pretty annoying, but I do like the whole, like, he's from the Delta Quadrant. Like, need somebody on their side who's native. Now, I know when you say, like, the Delta Quadrant, it's like saying we're from the Alpha Quadrant. We know the space. But but anyway, you know what I mean. Like, he's a native, and I just love it. It was needed. He was a character that – him and Kes were characters that were needed to facilitate their journey.
Yeah. I mean, whether you like him or not, he was very essential to making the crew complete.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I think that's a good way to put it, Char. Whether you liked him or not, he was essential to the crew.
Yeah, definitely. And it was really good at first, that contrast of what does it mean to live in the Delta Quadrant? I mean, water was scarce. He had a sand scrub at best for a bath. Mm-hmm. And things are very, very much everybody's out for themselves. I mean, you take what you can get.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of a thing. It let us know, this is not what we're used to. this is different, and you know what? We need someone to show us the ropes. That was Neelix.
And he was really not impressed with all their Starfleet credentials either. I remember thinking...
No, he was not.
That was
he
funny.
Loved the technology, but I love that in... I think it was The Cloud, where Janeway goes into what they thought was the nebula at that point. He's, what are they doing? Yeah. These people are idiots.
And even the
I
fact...
I'm going to go to Captain Janeway, and I'm going to tell her to let us out of here right now.
Right. Even the fact when she's like... When Janeway's introducing herself to him, and he's like, that sounds very impressive. Whatever that
yeah.
is.
Like, I have no idea what it means, but...
Right.
Thanks for sharing. Impressive. Yeah. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, basically, the rank meant nothing to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, it sounds like we all had a pretty favorable impression of Neelix in Caretaker. And maybe those earlier episodes. Now... Did you ever feel like Neelix did get annoying? And what was that point for you if and when it happened? Lori, what have you got?
The part where he started becoming insanely jealous of
yes.
Tom and Cass.
Oh, that was bad. Yes,
that
it was.
I mean, really. I remember thinking at first, it just kind of blew by me at first. It didn't bother me. But after rewatching... really grated my nerves. I mean, what is your deal, dude? Back off.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is they just so overkilled it.
They did.
We saw it over and over and over, and by the 50th time, we was like, okay, Neelix, we get it. All right, you're a little possessive. You're afraid Kes is going to go off with somebody else who's younger and snazzier and better skilled than you, yada yada, or whatever insecurity he wants to play to at the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So once the spaghetti fight finally happened and he and Tommy had to duke it out, I was just, hallelujah.
Yes.
Because
yes.
this is over.
Yes.
Yes, that was the moment where there was this just, like, the entire audience just had a great big exhale.
Yes.
Where it was like, finally.
Collective sigh of relief, yes.
Yeah, that was, Lori, you said exactly what I was thinking. That was my moment, too, where he was just the constant jealousy from Twisted onward, where it was just always the green-eyed monster just kept coming out, and I'm just so glad that it wasn't like for 4 years. You know, like as long as Kes was on the show.
Could you imagine? It was bad enough as it was. I don't think anybody could have taken one iota more than what we had, because it was already way too much. I didn't mind it at first. I thought it was interesting, but then they didn't really do anything with it until they finally decided to just resolve it and get it over with.
Yeah.
It's like they built it to a plateau, and then they stagnated and had to remind us, oh, Neelix is jealous of what's Kes is doing. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And then finally spaghetti fight.
Yeah.
I did like, though, that they kind of justified his jealousy a little bit later on when we saw an alternate future where Tom actually does hook up with Kes and has a family. So, like, if B'Elanna was out of the picture, yeah, Kes would have been his wife.
That's
and
true.
And there would have been nothing that Neelix could do about it.
Yeah, this is absolutely true. And let's face it, at this point in the series, Tommy is a little flirtatious.
He's just one big walking hormone.
He is.
That's right. Yeah, and he confesses to Harry that he really does kind of have a thing for Kes, despite the fact that, yes, she is taken. And he wants to respect that. He's not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he feels a special happy thing when he sees her.
I do. It's a special happy thing.
He gets warm and fuzzy.
I do like, though... even though a lot of people don't like Neelix because they say that, like, he can be annoying, or his jealousy gets in the way, or he's, like, he's too upbeat all the time, he's too in your face, I feel like there's just one big defense mechanism because of all the crap that he's gone through. We know more about his history than any other character. He's one of the most fleshed-out characters in Voyager. And Voyager is blamed a lot for not fleshing out its characters, and yet people will not recognize it because they don't like Neelix.
You are absolutely right,
true.
Tristan.
That is true.
Neelix got some fantastic episodes about his past. We started with Jatrell, We also got things like Mortal Coil. That's one of my favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's very Neelix-centric.
Rise?
Rise. Yeah, not mm-hmm. only do we have great Neelix episodes that deal with his backstory, he's always the guy that's there to talk to everyone when they have an issue because
that's
he's the
right.
quote-unquote morale officer. And so he's like, well, I went through something like this when I was blank. And then so mm-hmm. we got, you know, a lot of backstory. Kind of like, I don't know if if Counselor Troy ever actually talked about herself when she was, you know, talking with others. But yeah, I mean, like we got to hear about his family, about how how he loved his family and who his favorite sister was, how they all perished in the Metreon Cascade, and how mm-hmm. he had to deal with his
yeah.
survivor's guilt. And he was, he dealt with junk. He was on a garbage scowl. He was a merchant.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's had a fairly rough life.
Yeah. But it made him so well-rounded, really, too. And like you said, if somebody needed help or whatever, he was right there and could give an example of, here's how to deal with this situation. Because they didn't
exactly.
have a counselor, and then Cass left, so there
yeah,
you go. Somebody had to step in.
Yeah. I always had the impression that Neelix didn't have a whole lot of what we would consider formal education. He's the guy who learns on the streets, if you will. His education is in practical common sense, knowledge.
Yeah.
He learned by doing. And there is a lot of value in that. And that is where Neelix is coming from. I think a lot of people get annoyed with him because his perspective is very different from that of a Starfleet officer who's
yes.
gone through the academy, who is used to protocol and the ginormous Starfleet regulation rule book. Neelix does not come from that world. That's like almost getting like an inner city kid to talk to a Harvard PhD professor and expect them to communicate seamlessly.
Yeah.
No.
Coming from very different worlds.
And we find out even later on in the series, maybe not too late in the series, but that he actually knows a thing or two about warp theory. And
have to bring this up.
I'm bringing it up because
apparently he's a genius.
No, that's the thing. Like it goes back to your point. You can understand how something works without knowing every single dynamic of it and
right.
knowing what everything is called and what where everything originated and how everything is put together, but you at least know how something works. I mean, he was an assistant, he was an engineer's assistant on a freighter for about like 2 years, and that's how he became versed in warp theory. And so when he was talking with Harry and Tom and B'Elanna in Threshold, like he couldn't give them statistics, he couldn't give them, you know, like any detailed theorems or anything like that. It was pretty much just like, well, this is how I would have done it. And then that spawned the idea of how they got to warp 10. Now that's another discussion, but it just
yes, it is.
You know, he
yeah.
knows how to do a lot. Like he's a guy who knows a lot of things about a lot of things, but is by no means a PhD student.
Yeah, he's that jack
of
all trades,
yeah.
master mm-hmm. of none, right? And it's funny you mentioned this instance because I find Neelix to be annoying in that scene in Threshold, and yet it does perfectly illustrate this point. So
it
go
does.
Figure.
Yes.
Yeah, it really does.
You win, man.
Okay, so we talked about when we most were annoyed by Neelix. Like, what were moments when we most enjoyed Neelix, where we're like, yeah, not our favorite episodes, but kind of the moments when we're like, glad you're on the ship, Neelix.
I liked, and I think it was in The Cloud, I liked the way that he took the initiative to go ahead and create the mess hall, because there was no way that they were going to be able to feed everybody with the crisis that they were in at that time, which totally disappeared later, but whatever, you know, with replicator rations and all that. So he just went ahead and said, I'm going to make this easy. I can cook. This is what I'm going to do. And maybe that was annoying to some people, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Specifically Janeway.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
especially
definitely.
Janeway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took away her dining hall.
I feel bad about saying this, but my favorite moment, or one of my favorite moments where I was like, hey, yeah, that's Neelix being cool. I'm glad you're on the ship, is a moment that never actually happened. It was when he was fighting the Kazon in the mess hall when the doctor
oh yes,
that's cool.
Oh, that's funny.
Was
I
going
love
through
it.
That whole thing where like he starts like throwing stuff. He's like, take that, you Kazon pus hog.
Yeah, he's throwing tomatoes at him or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then what does he end up hitting him with? A frying pan.
Yeah, it was a frying pan.
I think so.
Yeah, it's my best saucepan.
Yes, that is a good one. I'm trying to think. Okay, I'm not so sure if this is one of those redeeming moments, but one of my favorite Neelix moments is when he is fighting the Klingons in the Hirogen holoprogram in the Killing Game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where he's using his quote-unquote resourcefulness in many ways, including drunkenness, to win and have his way, and he does it. And it's nice to see him having a really good time doing it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, yeah. Neelix is overly happy sometimes, but you know what? On a journey like Voyager's, where things really are kind of bleak, you need a bright spot like that.
Yes.
Whether it's a cover or not, yes. Because really, yeah. That's his external persona. There's a lot of pain within him, mm-hmm. which we briefly discussed. But you do need that happy face, someone to help you smile, and that's what Neelix does best.
He does. You're right. He does.
Like, yeah, he's always the kind of the self-proclaimed counselor and morale officer, and he can be the clown when he needs to be.
Yeah.
And kind of the veritable Patch Adams of the Delta Quadrant.
There you go.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and I hate to say it, guys, but I do think that the makeup helps with that.
Oh, yeah.
Very clown-like. You're right.
A little bit. All he needs is a little red nose.
Now, he's definitely funny, and I feel like there's a lot of moments that make you laugh with Neelix, whether it's intentional or not.
there are those moments, too.
I always felt like there was two episodes that defined his character, and that was Jatrell and Mortal Coil.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you guys would think the same. If there's any listeners who have been with us since the beginning, you know how much I love Jatrell, so I'm not going to dwell on it. But, you know, that's when we learn about his, the history of his family, like we mentioned earlier in the episode, about how they died in the Metreon Cascade. But with Mortal Coil, this was nothing new to the Star Trek universe, dying and coming back. But this was, I think, the first time that we had a person die and then come back and then have religious... or spiritual confliction.
I would say to this level, we've not seen this, not quite, because we did get emanations in season one of Voyager that dealt with, well, what is in the afterlife? Is it real? What happens? But this is in much more depth, and I really, really like Mortal Coil for this reason, because Neelix just has a complete crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And it really challenges him, and I love that.
And on top of that, Ethan Phillips did a stand-up job in that episode.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I agree.
Top-notch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people realize how versatile Ethan Phillips really is. He's, like once I understood who he was because of Voyager, I couldn't stop noticing him all over TV and movies.
Definitely.
He's everywhere.
Definitely.
Yeah. The guy has done a lot in his career.
Yeah, he's a great character actor, and... I felt like he was able to bring out the best and the worst of Neelix, especially in Mortal Coil, where he wants to be a part of the crew. He wants to help everybody. He still puts on a smile, even though you know he's just dying inside because he's lost his faith.
Oh, that was such a heartbreaker.
Because
you really do feel for the guy. I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get through our day, but deep down inside, we just want to crawl back into bed and hide and not deal with the world because it's too much to handle.
Definitely.
I wanted Chakotay to deal with that moment a little bit better, like kind of talk a little bit more with him, because I just wanted to hold Neelix and say, no, it's cool, because like let's say your ancestors are really at the tree, you know, like they would probably know that you're not going to be there full time, so why would they even bring you to the tree? So they're just waiting until you're really going to die. And then, problem solved.
Yeah.
And Chakotay, of all people, could have really brought that out.
Mm-hmm.
Being the quote-unquote spiritual guy, you think he would have had that perspective, but they did kind of squash that.
Yes. They were just kind of like, he's going to be the only guy who's there. He's Chakotay's just going to be the guy who facilitates the vision quest, and that's it.
And that's all, yeah.
Yeah.
Not too much spirituality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, everybody's had that moment where they've had been, they felt like they were kicked in the gut by life and everything you believed in was just gone. But yeah, I mean, they could have cushioned the blow a little bit more, but yeah.
I don't know. Overall, I still really enjoyed what they did with Neelix, and they still put him through the ringer.
They did. Yes. They did.
And I actually really liked that because I liked seeing the best and the worst, as you said, Tristan, of Neelix.
And I did like their message at the end, whether it was blatant or not, was the message of suicide, where Neelix, he was going to kill himself. I think like the only other time that we've seen that is with O'Brien in Deep Space Nine, with a main character. But Laurie, you're right, with Death Wish.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
But I meant like with a main character that we've grown with.
True.
And I just remember how heartbreaking that was, seeing Cole Meany portray that. And then Neelix did the same thing. And at the end, it was that message of, no matter how alone you feel, no matter how much you think the pain won't stop, there's always someone who's going to miss you.
And, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that reason alone is enough to kill yourself and hang on. Thank you. And so Naomi was the one who kind of was,
and was who better?
That motivation. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they had a very cool bond, and it makes perfect sense that Neelix is the de facto babysitter.
Definitely. The clown.
Because he's the fun guy. He'll read you stories before bed, make sure that you brushed your teeth.
Yeah. I loved him with those Borg kids, too. I thought that was a really cute dynamic.
I thought the only time that I really liked Neelix and the Borg kids were the haunting of Deck 12.
I guess that was probably
about it. I don't even know
if
that's a good episode.
But that was cute. Well, no, that was cute.
You know what? He handles them well. I mean, despite Elogium, he really needed to be a father.
And that was weird. I'm glad you brought that up. Because in Elogium, he's just like, I don't know if I'm ready. But then all we see from him later on after that is paternal instinct. So I guess maybe that was his turning point. Maybe that was his...
Well, you know, okay, here's the thing is, when it's your own child, it's much different than if, say, you're babysitting Naomi for the night while mom's on an away mission. And then when she comes back, you just hand her right back off and say, you go. She's still alive.
Yeah.
Much less responsibility involved when it's your own... Totally different. And I say that as a non-parent, which I think explains why I'm not a parent, actually. I don't know if I want the responsibility. I'm kind of like Neelix in that sense.
Yeah.
But let's take a turn now and talk a little bit about how they resolved Neelix's arc on the show, because he was the first character to basically make an exit from the show. He remained in the Delta Quadrant and found a family.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of... the first person to make a real exit, because we've seen, like, not die, basically.
Well, right. I'm not talking about Lieutenant Carey or anything like that.
Phase out of existence. I was thinking
of, like, other Star Trek where, like, Worf leaves for an episode but then comes back.
Besides being killed, I can't think of anybody.
And then, like, we have O'Brien leave... the Enterprise and go to Deep Space Nine, but he wasn't really a main character, and he was going to another show. He wasn't gone, exactly. So you're absolutely right that, like, Neelix exits before the end run. How did you feel about that, Char? About him leaving before the last episode?
You know, I was actually really sad when I watched that episode for the first time, and I just thought, this is a really beautiful and touching way to end this character's story. He's where he needs to be. He's doing what I think is what's going to make him the happiest. Because honestly, could you imagine Neelix in the Alpha Quadrant?
I could. Really? Yes. Yes. Wanted him to go home. I wanted him to go to Voyager.
Open a restaurant.
Be a cook at Starfleet Academy?
No, yeah. Like, go down to New Orleans and start working part-time at Cisco's.
There you go.
Okay, now that would have maybe been a little interesting, but I felt like...
Can you imagine the sitcom spinoff with Cisco's dad and Neelix running a restaurant together? I'd watch that show.
Oh, are you sure that Ben Sisko's father would handle Neelix for very long?
I think
those
so.
Two just,
I, it would be the odd couple.
It would be tough. It would be tough. It would be the odd couple for sure.
That's it, the right there. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I really think that Neelix went on to have a very fulfilling life. He made the right decision for him. So I really thought it was touching that the way that they handled that.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it's when you think about it, him, like, because in other episodes, he was all excited. He's like, yeah, no, I can't wait to get to Earth. Like, mm-hmm. this is going to be great. I'm sure everybody at Starfleet is going to want to talk to me. And, but then you start to think, okay, think about how we would feel if we were the only human on Rynax or Talax.
Exactly. Weird. I think that reality hit him when he came across what eventually became his newfound family.
In Homestead,
and he realized, this is my last chance.
My last chance to see another Talaxian.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal, yeah. And I love that the boy's name is Brax, and the first time I heard that, I thought they said Prax.
Oh, God. Say it. You have
Prax.
To say it. There you go.
There you go.
Prax!
Nice.
And I was just like, oh, it's Prax Jr.
It's Prax the Brat. Brax.
We did see Neelix in the last episode, but it was just a cameo. It was just him on the big screen talking with Seven for a little bit.
Basically, to let us know that he was alive and well.
Yes, and he was okay. But I would have liked to have seen maybe just a little goodbye. I know he had such a great send off. I guess
he did. That
I really wouldn't change it.
With everybody like lining up the hallways, all I'm thinking about is like have. Like Janeway or Seven or somebody or Tom even, where it's just like, okay, we're gonna go into the Borg hub now. This like if everything works out okay, we're probably never gonna be able to talk to you again. And he's like, okay, so long. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's pushing it. Maybe it's too schmaltzy.
Oh, I would like to believe that happened in the novel verse. It really did happen. We just didn't see it.
Yeah.
Yes, it did happen. We just didn't see it.
Okay,
because that would have been a very cute and touching moment. Absolutely,
that's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
That is true.
Yeah, he might have given Janeway some last minute encouragement or something
like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we've done a fairly decent wrap up, essentially, on Neelix here. And any final thoughts we want to get out for sure before we end this?
I feel like Neelix is completely misunderstood, and I feel like he's essential to the crew. I think he's funny, but I'm not going to lie. I mean, he can be annoying, and he can kind of feel like a square peg in a round hole sometimes, but I felt like that's part of his charm. So I felt like he was essential to the crew. That kind of person was needed, whether we wanted him or not.
Yeah.
So that's my thought.
That sums it up pretty well. I mean, I would miss him if he wasn't there. It would leave a hole. I think it would be awkward and strange. So, yeah, what you said, and I think he was very necessary to where they were.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think we've definitely driven that point home. Absolutely necessary. He is not my favorite, as I've expressed before on the show. But I don't completely hate the guy. Yes, he is annoying at times, but I feel like eventually the writers did mellow that out just a little bit to the point where it wasn't unbearable. One thing that did kind of annoy me was how Neelix sort of, he had to butt his way into everything on how the ship operated. He was the cook, he was the morale officer, then he's a journalist, and then he wants to be a part of security, and it's like, dude, back off.
Yeah.
You need to do one job and do it really well.
I'd have to agree with you on that one. That I did like that he was a jack of all trades, but they could have dialed it down towards the end. Yeah.
We didn't need Neelix do-all, butting his way into every little aspect of the ship's operation. That did get to me. That was probably my biggest gripe about Neelix in general. But you know what? I couldn't imagine the show without him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that it says a lot about Ethan Phillips, his performance and portrayal of the character. And, that's where I'm going to leave it off. Right there. So, before we go, let's make sure that everybody visits trekfan.org, our sponsor. You go to that page, decode the puzzle, and from there, you're going to open up a whole different world of a Star Trek fan club that's not just a Star Trek fan club. You are on your way to doing real-life missions and winning prizes. It's a lot of fun, and I highly encourage you all to do that. Next week, you guys, I think we've got another good one coming on through the pipeline. We're going to discuss the top three tough love moments. This is going to be one of our little lists. We're each going to come up with three episodes that we think have the best portrayal of tough love in the series and discuss them. It should be quite interesting. So, how about Twitter handles, guys? Where are you on the interwebs?
Well, you can find me at The Insane Robin.
And Lori, how about you?
You can find me at LoriS68.
All right. And you can find me at Oh the Profanity. Do chat us up. We enjoy talking all things Star Trek, not just Voyager, but especially Voyager. Also, if you have not given us a rating on iTunes yet, we really appreciate that, especially those 5-star ones, and with some sort of reasoning why you love us, we will sing your praises back and give you a shout out on the show. So if you've not rated us yet, please go and do that. That helps us out on the iTunes rankings, helps other people find the show. So until next week, you guys, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!